Our students and faculty are pushing the limits of music, dance, and theater all over the world. And with your support, their artistry and ingenuity will see no end. We invite you to explore some of Berklee's current philanthropic priorities and learn about our schools and campuses in Boston and beyond. To learn more, please visit berklee.edu/giving.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Berklee Alumni's Pass the Mic, where we pass the mic to you. I'm Jaquel Illy.
I'm Patrick Farma.
Yes, and this is a special episode.
I love to stop you when I say my name every time.
I just don't understand.
What don't you understand?
This is 16 episodes in at this point. I don't know. But what is up? What's up with you and your name, boss? Maybe we need to have a deeper conversation.
I think it's like I'm in the room, I'm talking to you and talking to myself, and it just feels like I'm telling myself what my name is. It's a whole thing when I have to explain my name to people, so.
Trust me, I get it. My name, I've been correcting people for a minute. One time I was even had to ask my grandmother, I'm like, am I pronouncing our last name right? I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think I am, but I get it.
Well, that's who I am. My name is Patrick Farma.
Yes, that is who you are. And today we have a special episode. It's always special, right? Mm-hmm. But today is extra special because of...
We have a clip show.
It's a clip show.
Sorry for the clip show.
Jaquel, I'm telling my age now, but have you ever seen Saved by the Bell?
No, but I have heard of it.
So that was my introduction to the clip show. And this was my idea for how we're going to close out this season. It would be at least once a season, you take a bunch of clips from different episodes and you would put like the characters like in the restaurant or in a classroom, and they would just reminisce about different things that happened. And it was a really cheap way to make an episode. So I figure if it's good enough for Zach Morris, it's good enough for me.
Yes. And I think it's cool. I think it's a great idea. I mean, wow, 2 seasons in and we are coming, you know, wrapping up the second season. Like, that's amazing. I'm proud of us.
Yeah. And especially like, I can't listen to the first season now because I'm like, oh, listen to these amateurs.
Now we got a little bit more experience under our belt. We're moving up.
We had to figure out what the clips were and why we were doing it. And Jaquel went really deep. And she had like minute markers and stuff like that. And as always, I was just kind of like, I remember this. I liked this episode.
Yeah.
So we have a little bit of a mix of things we're proud of. Mm-hmm. We have a little bit of a mix of just self-serving our favorite stories that came from these interviews this year.
The first clip that we wanted to share or recall, or I guess just for me, it's like one of my favorite parts of this interview is with Mark Kelly. As you know, he was our season opener.
Alumni Achievement Award recipient.
Yes, he did receive an award from us. First of all, I love the interview altogether anyway, but like my favorite part is when he talks about his time in high school with Beyonce. Like in the interview, you could just hear me like, wait a minute, what? Like you really got to meet her? Like, or them, you know?
Yeah, Destiny's Child.
And he's like, yeah, like I remember them. I don't know. That was just crazy. That was awesome.
Mark is the bass player for The Roots, the legendary Roots crew.
Yes.
And he is with The Roots in the house band of The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. Really, really cool guy. Really down to earth. We also had Colleen.
Yes.
On this episode because she was Mark's RA when he was in the dorms at Berklee. So yeah, so here's our clip with Mark.
Houston is like a really popular area for musicians. Uh-huh. You know, we got Beyonce, we got Megan Thee Stallion, you know. So I wanted to know, do you have like a top 3 musicians from your area?
From Houston?
Yeah.
Musicians?
Yeah.
From my area. I mean, well, I'll say Beyonce is definitely a favorite just because, she went to the same high school as me. We went there.
Oh, she did? Yeah.
She did. My sophomore year was her freshman year. And then
this school, I'm telling you, she stayed
a second year.
What?
And then I remember they left school and everybody was joking like, they're going to they're getting a record deal. They're going. Somebody said they were getting a record deal, and that was like the word. And everybody's like, "They're stupid. They're gonna they're leaving school. They're gonna all this." And then
yeah,
next
all
thing
the smart
know,
music industry people.
They have their what was their hit single? Like Destiny's Child's first single, the one they did with Wyclef and Dwayne from Tony. The one is like I can't remember the title, but they their hit single dropped, and they just kind of blew up from there.
So you was actually in the same school when she was there.
I was.
Do you remember her?
I do.
Wow.
I feel like we need to do a whole other podcast episode about this.
Yeah, like how cool about is Beyonce? That? Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Like it was, that school was really full with
greats. By the way, the song I think was No, No, No.
That's it.
No,
there we
no,
go.
No, yep. No,
did you just Google that?
I did.
That's, okay, just making sure.
That was the first song and that's when I knew. I was like, wow, they made it. And then they just kept going from there.
Wow. Yeah.
This is amazing. A huge aside, but that's my role here, is one of my friends from film school lived in Quincy, Illinois, and Destiny's Child was playing at a festival there.
Mm-hmm.
And the opening act backed out or something. So they auditioned like all the bands in Quincy, Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and his band won. And so he opened for Destiny's Child.
Nice.
And whenever like something's going wrong in his life, he just screams, "I opened for Destiny's Child." So that was Mark Kelly talking about his Destiny's Child story. And then I was able to tell my Destiny's Child story, which was much less personal. Yes. The way that you and Colleen reacted.
Oh my goodness. Like, I'm telling you, I just.
I wish we had the breaking news.
Or someone there to catch our faces, like on a picture or something. Like, because what do you mean you went to school with Beyonce? Like, everyone loves her. And yeah, that was just amazing. I just think that that was a great story.
Yeah. Mark is just awesome. Mm-hmm. And he had so many stories.
Right.
His personal mm-hmm. stories, and then his stories about The Tonight Show and all of that stuff. If you haven't heard that episode,
yes.
Go to season 2, episode 1.
Yes.
With Mark Kelly.
Gotta check it out for sure. Next, we have a clip from our prison programs episode. And this was a really special episode because we had two alums from the college and the conservatory. And what was special about it was that they both participate in music programs inside of prison systems.
This is where I feel like we hit our like NPR journalistic storytelling type of thing. You know, this was something that we didn't know anything about. Maria received an entrepreneurial grant from the Boston Conservatory. We started talking about having her on the podcast. And then in the meantime, just colleagues talking to colleagues, someone mentioned that they knew another college alum who was also working in a prison music program in New York. And so we decided to bring them together. Jaquel and I are both very proud of this episode.
Absolutely.
And so here we have Jan and Maria talking about the impact that their programs have on the prisoners.
I've gotten some like thank you cards and things like that from inmates from several facilities saying like, thank you for bringing something beautiful to an ugly place kind of thing. I tried to choose my program of different types of music that different people might relate to. So it's not all classical. So I like add in some pop music and stuff like that so that they have something to connect to. So I've had several inmates approach me, like I played a Spanish piece and I had an inmate approach me after the concert saying like, hey, I'm actually from Spain and I really appreciate that because this is music from the country that I'm from and I can connect to it. I've had some inmates approach me and they are actually, I think one of them was a classical musician, so he could recognize some of the classical pieces I played with. So I tried to do that. That's kind of how I feel. Like, I don't want to necessarily make them feel better, make them happy, but distract them in some way. So I try to choose music to do that.
We also do a program called JEPTHA, which is for the mental health unit of Sing Sing. Their reaction is often like, you took me out of prison for 2 hours, which is a feedback that we get a lot, I found. But then in the music program, like when we're going and doing more core music theory, music education on Saturdays and at Bedford Hills, etc., like the feedback that we get is people reframing the way that they hold themselves and the way that they identify with themselves. They call, you know, now they're musicians and they can mm-hmm. say proudly like, oh, I'm a songwriter, I'm a composer, I'm a cellist, I'm a guitarist, I'm a whatever. And it gives them, it feels like it allows them to just have a different sense of identity and self-worth than whatever thing that they did that got them in there in the first place, you know, which could just be like so heavy to work through. Some of our alums, like there's a guy named Kenyatta Hughes, who's an incredible, powerful songwriter. He's not just like performing in New York. He teaches with us sometimes. And him and some of our other alums, Robbie and Alfred Robb, and all these people that are now just have been out for a few years, like, they're like, yeah, now I'm a musician. Like, I'm not anything else. Like, I am this thing now. So it's really cool to see the shift in identity and self-perception that having music education and giving them the opportunity to also, like, in adult life, you know, 30 plus, like, you're learning a new skill, you're learning a new instrument, and also realizing that they have the capacity to get better at a thing, you know, even if they didn't start it as children, because often you're like, oh, well, I didn't learn violin when I was six, so like now I can't play in the symphony. It's like, no, like it doesn't matter. You can still make music and call yourself that.
Yeah, so that was our clip that we chose from the prison programs episode. And one of the things that I really appreciated about that was just how, you know, sometimes we can dehumanize inmates. And I feel like hearing the stories of bringing music into their lives is really like kind of showcases the impact of the college and the conservatory and like how big music can be in people's lives. I just felt like that was such a touching story and a different perspective to make us kind of contemplate on things like, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah. And we talked about this during the interview, but if you look at prisons in general, the idea is that it's supposed to rehabilitate the inmate. Mm-hmm. And these are programs that you can actually see making an impact, changing the way that inmates look at themselves, giving them opportunities to interact with people in a way that's collaborative and creative. I knew they were important before we started, but then listening to Jan and Maria, it really solidified how important music therapy and music education have on not just young people and not just students, but, you know, everybody every day.
Right. You know, while I was going through season two and seeing what are the clips that I wanted to share, it made me think of some things. And I wanted to know, Boss, what is your favorite part of the process when it comes to creating the podcast? Like, there's different stages, right, as we prepare for an episode, but what is your favorite part?
You know, I think, and I appreciate you for this, is that I can walk into it a little cold. And I can sit in on these interviews and really listen and pull from my history of being an artist. I've said this on the podcast a few times, but I always edit it out because it's less interesting to hear about me. But, you know, I went to the Boston Boy Choir when I was in fifth grade and I sang liturgical music for 4 years. You know, we sang the national anthem at the Red Sox game. We, you know, traveled to Canada to sing there. You know, we did a lot of stuff, and there was a lot of heavy music theory built into that. So a lot of the things that people talk about, I can talk with them about that. So it's nice to be able to pull that out again. You know, I moved into the film world and I talk about that a lot, but it's nice to kind of go back to my first love and talk about music with people and be like, hey, I still have this language. I can still do this with educated people.
Yeah.
That's one. The second one is just doing the segments with you.
I agree. I like our segments. They're really cool. Yeah. Literally, our banter back and forth on here is literally how we talk. So it's like, it's just so natural. And it's fun. I appreciate that. But I would also say, like, my favorite part of the process would be just gathering information, like research. I feel like when I get the research and I kind of can just I see what's going on in someone's life, whether I'm looking at previous interviews or just going through their Instagram and stuff. And then I'm like, what are some things that I'm seeing? What do I think is interesting? And I just hope that, you know, our audience also thinks it's interesting as well. But going into these interviews and being like, okay, I think I understand them a little bit, but I'm going to dig a little bit deeper here and there. It gives me a little bit of confidence. I'm like, okay, I got this. Because sometimes I do get nervous. You know, we all get nervous about different things. And it's like, you really got to prepare yourself, especially when you know, I take this serious. I really love our podcast. You know, this is really like our baby. And so it's like, I want to be prepared. I want to be ready. I want to be like, I gotta just lock in. And so I feel like when I'm locked in, that starts literally at the beginning when I'm doing the research.
For both of us, I think it's important that we pull out, as you say, gems for alumni. You know, I think, you know, you've worked in marketing. I've worked in film and creative industries. Mm-hmm. You know, we know what it's like to pursue these careers. And when you can have someone talk about how they figured out how to get from A to B, it really makes me feel good to know that that's getting put out to the alumni community and people are getting ideas for how to continue their career and to further their professional development. I think it's important. And I think it's one of the reasons why we started the podcast to begin with.
I think we're good at this. We're good storytellers. I'm thankful.
Yeah, no. And we have great storytellers that we've been really fortunate with the people that we've interviewed.
Right.
I think the two things that you and I just talked about me being able to kind of to talk the music shop talk and you preparing, I think one of the things that when we both look at each other is when someone goes, no one's ever asked me this question before.
Right.
And that's really evident in our next clip with Matt Salee of Pentatonix.
Yes.
First of all, Matt, we didn't have anything planned with him. And then he came to campus and he was touring for Christmas and it was December. So we were like, let's slot Matt in here.
Right.
So this is the first time we actually just kind of did a really quick turnaround on the interviews and everything.
Yes, honestly, yes. And then after we were able to conduct the interview, him and the Pentatonix, they sung the national anthem at the NFL game for Christmas. I was like, look at this. Like, it was just so cool. I don't know. I just love seeing how everything just kind of works all together. But in this clip, we have Matt Salee, and he is just kind of, I like to say, nerding out, because I also say that about Patrick. Patrick, when he starts talking about music, it's like a whole different world. And so when people are really passionate about things, they have so much to say. And so this is a clip of Matt kind of like just talking about music and how it's a metaphor for how he lives his life. This is just like one of my favorite parts of the interview, but there was many favorite parts of the interview. There's parts where he's like making beats and tones with his voice. Like, I just feel like we have the best experiences with the alums in our episodes.
And so here's Matt.
I don't think I've ever been asked this question before. I'm like thinking on the real. I'm like, this is really cool. But I really love being the foundation of a chord. It, like, I'm holding up this tree or something, you know, like I'm the roots holding it down so people can spread their wings and go. And there'd be different branches that come at different parts and different seasons and leaves and thick. But I'm that foundation that just holds it down and makes sure that people are safe enough to be able to explore above me. And that it really is like a metaphor of how I live my life in a lot of ways. Like, as a dad, I just became a new father.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I like want my wife and my baby girl to feel so safe and so protected and in everything I do, I just want to be a light and just want people to feel that light. And so that foundation for me comes from God. So I want to be able to spread that love in everything I do. And so being the foundation, it's like, oh, wow, this is like a full circle thing that happens. And I get to do it as a bass vocalist specifically.
Wow.
It's so interesting because we were watching Bohemian Rhapsody on the ride in today. And we're saying, like, you were like the only person who didn't start in. Mm-hmm. And I could see you there just kind of holding your microphone, just being like, okay, I'm ready.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you start and you just kind of take a little step forward and start. And then it really, like, I know that feeling when you start to sing and then you can feel the other music with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I just was like, wow, cool. I got to watch The Road, but also that was a really good thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so cool. And it's nerdy, right?
Like,
it's pretty heady because you can get into like chord structure and like, where do you sit? And then what if I'm singing higher and I'm actually not the foundation of the chord and I'm like moving and I'm more of the fifth, and then you bring that, you know, it can get really, really, really heady. But what I love about what we do, it's impressive, but it's not it's still digestible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people mm-hmm. can listen to it and be like, oh, I can understand that. I can relate. It's not just right. like, you know, too much. Nothing wrong with that. I've been there, done it. I love it. It's just, you know, for this specific thing, trying to, especially doing Christmas carols, you want to be able to sing along. You want to be able to like bob your head to it. You want to, you know, it's got to be that feeling.
All right. And that was Matt Salee. Also, we had a special guest in the studio for that one, which was my daughter, Sophia. She had a doctor's appointment earlier that day, so she came along with me.
We love Sophia.
She flows in and out of the podcast. Yes. She was actually, when we first started, when we did the segments for our first episode, and whoo boy, that was, that took a long time.
Yeah.
It was still kind of pandemic, kind of like quasi in, quasi out.
Right.
But she was there with us for the first one, and she was about 6 years old then, and she's almost 10 now.
Oh my gosh.
So.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, she was our little executive producer. Mm-hmm. I still call her that. She has great points, great ideas. Yeah, she's cool. So. Thank you, Sophia.
So we have one more clip on our clip show extravaganza closing out season two of Pass the Mic, which is Natalie Toro. Do you remember our interview with Natalie Toro?
Yes, Natalie Toro. So we was able to conduct this interview because she had received our Alumni Achievement Award. And we were able to sit down and she just had so much great things to say. Not only just gems, as I like to say, but she had so much stories to tell. It was just so cool. And just the way that she delivered the stories was awesome as well.
Amazing storyteller. Like she's telling us a story about her first Broadway audition and she's telling us about like the 80s outfit she was wearing and what was going on and the type of water they were drinking. And then she's telling us about her experience acting for the first time on Law and Order. And she just goes everywhere with this. But this was my favorite clip of that show because she talks about having to stop production in a Steven Spielberg film, which must be the most difficult thing to do in the industry to say, excuse me, Steven, we have to slow down for a second.
Right. Very bold, but definitely very much her.
Mm-hmm. So here's Natalie.
My last thing I did recently was the shoot West Side Story with Steven Spielberg.
Right, yeah.
And that was truly amazing because I think 40,000 people auditioned for that film.
Wow.
I mean, everybody wanted to be in that film.
Yeah.
And he was doing it very authentic. Like, you know, he really wanted real Spanish people, you know, and whatever else, you know, was happening, he really wanted to be true to the, you know, the nationality and stuff. And you know, till this day, you still can't, they still can't ask you, what's your heritage?
Yeah.
You know, right. However, they did because he wanted real authentic, you know, the culture to come out, you know? So that's a funny shoot story because now I know what it is. I've done it. But now it's Steven Spielberg. Now it's a whole other level.
Sure. Yeah.
Of genius. Right.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And I was really calm and I was like, okay, Steven Spielberg. Oh my God, here we go. You know, so there was a lot of like, you know, rehearsing for the song. I was in the American number rehearsing for the song, and then you go into the studio and then you record the song because I don't know if people know that you actually have to record everything before they shoot it. Mm-hmm. Then they put these little teeny eeny pieces of this in your ear. It looks like the size of like a I don't know. Less than a Tic Tac,
right,
you know,
yeah.
And it goes in your ear. And so that's the track playing. Oh, wow. So while they're shooting, you sing to your track.
Sure.
You know, and you really sing. So it
out loud.
Yeah.
You know,
it muscles, yeah.
But you have to hear the track, you know. And so one of my thing was hanging out the window. I don't know how much time we have here because I have lots of stories. But my thing was hanging out the window to say my line. And of course, I tell you, the shoots are very long. So I'm literally hanging out the window on one butt cheek halfway out for hours.
Right.
And it's the hottest day in New York City. It was a heat wave where it's like 100 degrees. And, you know, you're in costume and the makeup.
Makeup,
they keep
sweating,
patting you, you know, down.
Hair.
And hair and all that stuff. And And the windowsill, because it was an old tenement building in Washington Heights, and so the windowsill was crumbling as I was, you know, I'm leaning, and that's the only thing I could lean on, and the sill was crumbling, and I was just, and I said, excuse me, Steven? Because see, I was up on the fifth floor and he's down in the courtyard. Yeah, Natalie. So we might have a problem here because this windowsill is crumbling and I might fall to my death.
Right.
If that's the shot you want. Right. You know, he was like, oh my gosh, we can't have that. So they stopped, you know, for a minute, and they sent a stagehand up to the apartment I was in, and he rigged me up like a harness underneath my dress. Harnessed me up and he with a chain, with a rope, and he was on the floor holding me in.
He said, you're not gonna fall.
He's like, you're not gonna fall now.
Not on his watch.
Isn't that fun?
When you don't want to hold up the set either, and then you're like, I have to tell this to Steven Spielberg or I might die.
Oh, I might die. Right in front of him, and they'll just replace me.
Yep, so that was the clip with Natalie Toro.
How did you feel the clip show went, Jaquel?
I appreciate being able to look back on the work that we did. You know, it just allows us to kind of have a little bit of nostalgia. Like, wow, like this was a great time. I actually learned a lot from this interview. So yeah, I loved it. How about you? What'd you think?
Season two has been a lot of my favorite interviews, mostly because season one, you did all the interviews by yourself.
Yes.
These are some great stories, and these are ones that I tell people when they ask what I do and if they know that I'm part of a podcast and all that stuff.
Right.
And hopefully for the audience, if this is your first time tuning in, you can kind of go back to these episodes and listen to all the gems that our alumni drop along the way. And
it makes me appreciative because it's like when we get able to listen back and then kind of compare it to season one, it's like, wow, we have grown so much. We have like a new song, you know, like we have added different elements to it, whether it's musical therapy stuff. I just feel as though I'm excited that we was able to accomplish this. And then I'm also super excited for the many other things we will accomplish with season three of the podcast.
Season three has some special stuff. We're doing some things that we haven't done before.
Tell them.
We got some really amazing guests. And so stay tuned. That will be coming in the fall. And so I guess who's playing us out today, Jaquel?
Yes. Today, playing us out, we have a song called Be With You by Alana Isabel. And this is one of my newest favorite bops. I love playing it in the car.
I have a whole playlist of Berkeley alumni songs that I've just had in my head. And some of them are because I'm editing an interview and I have the song playing in the background. But sometimes it's just, you know, you come across someone on social media and you start to look them up, and there's just like these, you know, alumni make great music. Surprise, surprise.
They really do. Yes. And I also feel like this song is perfect for the summer, the beginning of the summer. It just gives you that good vibe. Right. So keep doing all of the great creations and projects you are doing out there, alums. We are enjoying them, and we are super excited to continue to include them at the end of our shows.
Absolutely. So we will see you all in a brief, short few months.
Yeah.
Happy Pride to everyone.
Yeah, thanks for supporting us.
I got my shades all rolling with my windows down. Took a trip, headed into town. Just playing real loud, you know what it's all about. Hold your hands, you're my man, and I'm here with you. Baby, I choose you. Let this moment last forever. Let me be with you. I don't want nobody else. I just want you for myself. No, we kept it casual, but I think it's time that we end that.